Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message. We're in the middle of the series called You Asked For It, and I'm fired up. I love this series because it hits us right where we are. Over the summer, we went through a book of just a long study through the book of Hebrews, which is important. You got to dig into the deeper stuff of God. You got to learn the nuts and bolts about theology and God and his relationship with us and who he is and how he made us. And so we talked about the informational side of scripture, but we're in this series that really is going to be more to the practical side. And these are questions that back in the spring you asked for it. And so the whole context of that is if we could teach some things out of the Bible that would be practical and help you in everyday life, what would they be? And so we're going to spend the next several weeks just dealing with some of those things. And I have been preaching for 13 years, and every year for 13 years, I've done a message on marriage. And sometimes I've done a whole series on marriage. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And this was my challenge going into this. Like, I said it all. Like, I just, y'all need to go find it in the archives, and we can just go to beat the Methodist Amazios, amen? But I really believe God has something for you. And then I also realized there's probably about a third of the room in here like, great, we came to church today and he's preaching on marriage and I ain't even married. I still think there's something for you. I mean, I really do. I really think because marriage is God's design. It's the pinnacle of relationship. I mean, it's the most intimate of relationship that there is. And so the things, the principles that I'm going to talk about today, they do point back towards marriage. But to be honest with you, they can apply to every relationship that you're in with your parents, with your kids, with your coworkers, maybe with the person that the relationship that you're in. So I want to just take just a minute, and before we, I want to do two things before we jump into the Bible today, before we jump into God's Word. The first one is I want everybody to repeat after me and say, I love BK. Like, y'all didn't say that like a minute, you know. I'm not going to make you repeat it, but I just got to warn you. I'm going to say a little bit of pointed stuff today. I really am. And I want, so the reason we're going to pray is because I want God's Spirit and God's anointing to coat everything that I say. Because I want those seeds of the Word to be planted in good soil. I don't want to say anything that you take and the enemy can spin it and turn it into something that it's not. And you know, well, that pastor don't even care about it. That's not it. I'm going to be pointed, be a little bit direct today. But I want to make sure that God takes his anointing and coats that word and plants it in our heart. You receive that this morning? Let's pray. God, we come before you today. We're going to open your word. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about how we should grow in relationships and how we should behave as Christians and walk as believers. And Father, we're going to believe this is going to help us practically in our marriage. And today, God, I pray that every word is coated with the anointing. Father, I believe that everything that's spoken here today, God, would be fruitful and beneficial. We're going to pray for a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold. God, I'm asking for those marriages that are here. And this other part may not be here. There may just be one that's here because the marriage is on life support. God, I believe today that you would speak hope into that situation. Maybe there's somebody that's just joining us online. Don't even know why they just clicked on a video and now they're watching and it's about marriage and I'll give it a few minutes. Lord, I pray just that the Holy Spirit would connect through them and the anointing would be there as well and would heal what's broken, what's mend, Father, what's been bruised. And we receive that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. We'll talk a little bit about some of these principles that deal with marriage and relationship. But truth be told, this will help us in all of our relationships. If your status is married or dating or single or hopeful or it's complicated, you know what I'm saying? I still think there's something for all of us here today. And here's when we look at marriage in the Bible, and you go back thousands of years ago, yeah, there was man and woman and woman and well, I mean, it's just different. I mean, there's some different things that took place in biblical times, and we try to translate those into to today. Sometimes it's just when you read about marriages in the Bible and you try to apply that to, let me give you an example. David had seven wives. We don't do that today. David's son Solomon, he had 700 wives. How did the brother keep up with all the anniversaries and the birthdays and the first date anniversaries and first kid, all that stuff? You know, Abraham, the father of faith, he had several wives. And so you look at biblical marriages, and then you try to go, well, I mean, how do I relate? Here's the deal. God has a standard for marriage. They got it confused. Sometimes today we get it confused. And the marriages of the Bible, even though they were different time, different situation, sister wives and all that stuff going on, they suffered from some of the same pressures, some of the same things that marriages today suffer from. And that challenge is just pressure. It's just pressure. Cultural pressure. Life pressure. Why did we have kids pressure? You know, it's real. David had 7 wives. Because the culture that was surrounding him, that's what they did. They did that. Other kings used marriages as alliance bargaining chips. So David did what the culture around him did. He did what other kings surrounding him did. He had multiple wives. They gave in. They began to do what the culture did. They did what other marriages would do. We do the same thing in 2019. Even though we're trying our best to live to the biblical standard, husbands are trying to love their wives as Christ died, and wives are trying to respect their husbands and do all that, we still sometimes let the pressure of what's going on around us, pressure of today's culture, creep into our life. It changes how we behave. It changes how we think. It changes how we sometimes live out our life. Probably the biggest thing, I think, from our culture that impacts our marriages is we've taken on the culture's idea of, I deserve to be happy. And if I filter how I live my life through that pressure of I deserve to be happy, if everything I do revolves around, every decision that I make revolves around and points back to that principle of I deserve to be happy, ultimately you are going to be a selfish person. And selfish people ain't no fun to live with. That's not a good time to amen. Just look forward, just, you know, in your heart and go, amen, preacher, because you're married to that person, right? Selfish people are tough to deal with. And the end result, if that's you, will actually have the opposite effect of what you're setting out to accomplish. Every decision you make centers around, I deserve to be happy, my own happiness, my own fulfillment. But the ultimate byproduct that you will produce, you will be very unfulfilled. It will be a very lonely and many times a very unhappy life. Selfish people typically are unhappy people. And I want you to be a happy person, not because you deserve it, and not because you get your way all the time. Listen, I want you to live a full and filling life. And I believe in Scripture that it lays out 4 steps for how you and I, as followers of Christ, can live a full and filling life. The first one is Jesus has to be the center of that. Jesus has to be the center of your life. Everything has to revolve around Him, not your own happiness, but your relationship through Christ. Here at Hillspring, we call that knowing God. We want everybody to know God. We have family and friends that you're praying for. We want them to know God. Secondly, to living a full and full life is that your past doesn't haunt you anymore. We want you to deal with your hurts, your habits, and your hangups. We call that finding freedom. Your past does not have to dictate your destiny. We want you to understand why you're here. Why did God choose for you to live in good old Sand Springs, America, 2019? We don't want you to go through life like a pinball, trying this trail for a while or trying that trail for a while. I'm looking down this way, trying to find something that'll make me happier. Try this relationship, looking for something that'll make me happy. God truly wired you in a way and a purpose and a dream and a destiny. We want to help you figure that out. What your purpose is. We call that discovering your purpose. The 4th step in living a full and filling life is to take all that. Take your relationship with Jesus Christ. Take your past that you've been through. It doesn't hurt anymore. Take your problems, your habits, your hangups. It doesn't haunt you anymore. And I can use those now to help somebody else. Now I know what my purpose is. And I use all that and I wrap it up in this bundle called making a difference. Living your life for a good that's greater than your own. Making a difference. I know some of you go, that's a cute vision statement for a church preacher. That's real clever, real cute little vision statement for a church. Actually, I'm going to push on that a little bit because they think that's a good vision statement for your life. I think that's a good vision statement for raising your kids. I think that's a good vision statement for your marriage. Lay those four things. Know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. You lay those four things on top of your life and on top of your marriage and see how it plays out. Listen, when you put Christ at the center of your marriage, it's game changer. It's like getting the Hurts kid from OU to be your quarterback, and that's hard for me to say. It's game changer. Listen, Jesus is not intended to be a supplement to your marriage. He's intended to be the center of your marriage. You got to deal with your stuff. Some of y'all been married for 8, 10, 12, 14 years, and you still get mad at your spouse because of something that your ex-boyfriend did to you back when you was in high school. Or you just wake up mad at them because of a dream you had. They ain't guilty. You just dreamed it. You know that's real. Don't act spiritual. What would a whole and healed heart look like in all your relationships? What would that look like in your parenting? What would that look like in your marriage? What would that look like in your coworkers' relationship? Man, we want you to be set free. It impacts every area of your life. We want you to know your purpose. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like this. I don't. You're not going to like this. But your marriage actually serves a purpose in your life. In the Kellogg House, there are two different speeds. Okay? There's what? BK speed, and it resembles something like a chihuahua on crack. Come on, let's go. You know, a little Tasmanian devil all hyped up, right? Let's just go. And then there's the opposite end of the universe, what we refer to as Jer-Bear speed. You know what I'm saying? She just kind of saunters through life. She'll make three laps around the table. What are you doing? Well, I'm not sure. I love you, baby. But she's probably going to be late to her own funeral. Amen, Rick? But I can take you to the exact bridge I was on. I was driving on Highway 169. I can take you to the exact place in the road. And sometimes even when I'm driving that road, I remember that moment. I'm not saying I heard a loud, audible voice. But I'm just telling you, I felt this impression and this like spiritual revelation come up on me of the Lord revealed to me the purpose of my marriage in my life. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord said, listen, you're still in ministry, and you'll retire from ministry because of your wife, not because of you there, hot shot. See, my speed is go, 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 go. Before I met Jerry, I wanted to go, 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 crash and burn. Go, 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 crash and burn, repeat. Go, 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 go. And then, so Jerry's love language is quality time. I mean, she just needs some time with my pretty little face and my beautiful glistening brown eyes, like laying on the couch. And, you know, she needs me to go, baby, I just love you so much. Let's watch a chick flick with tissues, you know. If we're going to survive each other, I got to do that. That's how she receives love. And if I'm insisting on go, 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 crash, 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 and burn, she's slowing me down. She just lives at a little bit different pace. And she's slowing me down. She's like, hey, if we're going to have a good marriage, you're going to have to slow down. You have to spend some quality time with me. And so there's things that I do, I don't want to do, but they make me better because I do them. They make our marriage healthier because I do them. You've heard opposites attract, and then they get married, and opposites attack. You know? We are about as opposite and personality and temperament as you can get. And it serves a huge purpose in my life. My marriage is why I'm still sane. And some of y'all, that's a new revelation that you think I'm not sane, you know? And then you make a difference together. Man, it is just full and filling to raise kids together. It is just full and filling. The incredible honor that Jerry and I have to pastor this church. Man, she's up here singing, shout to the Lord. I'm down on the front row crying. I'm not crying, you're crying. I mean, just the anointing that God has on her life, it just is beautiful. It's just an incredible honor for her and I to get to do this together, to make a difference together. It's great to be, even though we're opposite, but we're working in the same direction, hard to leave a legacy together, making a difference together. So I want to give you some verses this morning to guide us in our marriage, to guide us in our relationships. And this message is a little bit of a challenge for me because I've preached on marriage for 13 years. I said it all. Sometimes I said it twice. I just believe the Lord wanted me to share this with just the state of our culture that we're in. Just maybe this is just directly for some of you that are in the room today. I want to give you some verses to help guide you in your marriage, but also in your other relationships, to help guide you in your growth as a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, probably one of the best chapters in the New Testament for just a relationship guide. It's so practical in this chapter. Ephesians 4:1, it says, "Therefore I," this is Paul writing, "a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." To which somebody go, "Well, that ain't for me. I ain't no missionary in Africa. I ain't no youth pastor. I sure ain't no kids pastor. I ain't been called to nothing. If it was a call, it's a prank call." Listen, this is for all of us. This is for the calling to be a follower of Christ. This is for the calling to serve Jesus with your life. He's not writing just to missionaries and just to pastors and just those people that are called. He's writing to you and I. We are to live a life worthy of being a Christian. He says, always be humble and gentle. All y'all Sooner fans need to listen to this verse right here, right now. Just memorize this. Be humble, gentle. Cowboy fans, can I get an amen? Thank you. Be patient with one another. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort when you feel like it to keep yourselves united in spirit. That ain't what it says. It says make every effort, regardless of how you feel, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And some of you, that's the thing your home is missing. It's peace. That's the thing that your marriage is missing. It's peace. Ephesians chapter 4, it is so practical when dealing with relationships. And talking about walking in unity in the church and walking in unity in your relationships, and really just boils down to how to live a good Christian life that we've been called to live. So this morning, I want to give your marriage a tune-up. Remember, you asked for it. This was your idea. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you're new with us today, inside your worship guide, there's an outline. Sometimes I just learn better by filling in some blanks. I take a lot of my own notes when I hear other speakers speak. And by the doors, there's tables by the doors on the way out. There's little white notebooks about this. It's big. It's a three-ring binder. Those are absolutely free. Just take one of those, put those notes in there, and come back next week. There'll be more notes in the worship guide. You can take more notes and keep up with them. That. If you're taking notes this morning, first thing I want you to write down, and y'all got to remember, I'm a redneck from Daisy, Oklahoma. So this ain't going to be good grammar. But point number one is the marriage ain't the matter. I know it's bad grammar, but it's good ideology, right? The marriage ain't the matter. Sometimes we think the problem is one thing, and that ain't the problem. Many times it's something else. Some of you are unhappy right now, and you're blaming the person that you're married to for your unhappiness. Some of you are unhappy right now, and you're blaming your marriage for your unhappiness. And I'm just going to be honest. Most likely, the marriage ain't the matter. The reason why you're unhappy is not the person you're married to. It's not your marriage. It could be something else. When I have the opportunity for a teenager to stop and I can talk to them about dating, I've preached this to our students several years in a row. I talk to my kids. I've talked to my nephews. Not even teenagers, people that may be single looking for a relationship. I have two pieces of relationship advice. Some of you are here, you're in that single and hopeful category, and I want to give you two pieces of advice about dating, relationships, and you're looking for Mr. Wonderful or Miss Perfect or whatever. Let me just tell you these two things. Number one, they need to love Jesus more than they love you. If they start going to church because they're dating you, I don't care how cute they are. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I don't care how much money they make. Listen, Jesus ain't optional. If you're dating, you ain't married. Jesus is not optional. This missionary dating stuff will land you in a big old hot mess. If they find Jesus so they can have you, most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, when they have you, they forget about Jesus. And so they need to love Jesus more than they love you. Because here's the deal. If they have a life-giving, growing relationship with Jesus, man, we've at least got a common ground that we can work on some things together. Amen, married folks that love Jesus. Really? We're mumble church today? Amen. Number two, dating advice and a message on marriage. They need to be happy with themselves without you. And I know there's this whole Jerry Maguire, you complete me. I know. It makes for good Valentine's Day cards. But let's be honest, it don't really make for healthy relationships. And that might go against everything you've ever thought, but I just want you to think another way. If you're dating, listen. And if you think marrying this person or dating this person or being with this person, if you think that is what will make you happy, hashtag wrong. Down through the years, I have married several couples that just one person in that couple, they just knew that once they were married, they'd be happy. They just knew that finally, once they could live together and be married, that they would get all their issues figured out. They just knew that marriage would make them happy. That's cute. LOL. ROFL. Like hashtag. You know, it's like, that ain't how marriage works. Like if you've got a wound that's kind of healed and then you get married, it's like picking on that wound. Just open, like it opens it all up again. Marriage does not settle your baggage. It only unpacks it more. Thank you. People online are amen and more than y'all are. There are some of us in here that may be unhappy in our marriage and you're wanting to blame the marriage. And it's possible the marriage ain't the matter. The marriage isn't the issue. Let me show you Philippians 4:11. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He's going to give you the secret to life. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And then he begins to describe some of the circumstances. He says, listen, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ, through Him that gives me strength. It's possible the marriage ain't the matter. Sometimes what we think is the issue may not be the issue. It might be the baggage from the past, the pains and wounds from years gone by, maybe from a past relationship where somebody abused you or took advantage of you or hurt you or just didn't treat you the way you should be. Maybe it's not even a romantic relationship. Maybe it's your parents. Or maybe it is this marriage, the relationship that you're in, but something happened early on when you were both immature and growing and you're just having a hard time getting past that. Paul says, listen, I've learned the secret to life, and that's to be content no matter where I'm at. If I'm hungry, if I'm full, if I'm rich, if I'm poor, if I'm married, if I'm unhappily, I've just learned to be content. And it's hard. That's why, you ever think it's interesting why he put the statement, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right there? He says, I've learned the secret to life. It's learn how to be content, whatever I'm at. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's a weird place for that verse. You know why? Because it's hard to be content. It goes against our selfish nature. It goes against this idea of I deserve to be happy. It's hard to do that. That's why I need His power. So I need the power of the Holy Spirit all up in me to get this done. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Like stay married. Like give in sometimes. Like not be selfish. I can do all things through Christ, like be content with where God has me because I know the place that I'm in is serving a purpose in my life. I can be content. If you look that up in the Disney translation, it's Hakuna Matata. And for some of us, the reason why our marriage is broken It's because we're broken. We don't want to deal with us. We want to put the spotlight on you. If you would change, if you would change, if you would get better, if you grow up, if you would make me happy, if you, because I deserve to be happy. And sometimes the marriage ain't the matter. Which leads me to my next point. Number two is you do you and then trust God with the rest. Years ago, I used to get so mad at that woman. Woo, help me, Jesus. She just wouldn't grow up. She just wouldn't change. She'd just do what I told her to do. And I'd be mumbling in my head and under my breath because I'm a big talker. I ain't going to do this. I'm just going to get a divorce. I deserve better than this. Boom, there it is. I deserve to be happy. By the way, I love you, baby. Listen, can I tell you when marriage got fun? It was when I grew up. Like we'd go to counseling, and I'd go tell on her, right? And then he kept coming back to me. It ain't about me. This is her. Marriage got fun when I decided that I might grow up a little bit. When I began to realize there might be a slim, small, very tiny chance that I might be hard to live with. There's like a 10% chance I was expecting her to make my perfect self happy, you know? And I'd be praying, oh God, Lord, change her. Oh Lord, just fix her so our marriage can be healed and whole in your name. Hallelujah. Oh God, if she would just change and my life would be better. And God would say to me, well, I'm actually using her to help you grow up there, hot shot. But Lord, thy humble servant is nigh perfect. And he'd say, you lie a lot too. And some of y'all going to counseling and telling on your spouse. Get it. He needs to be more romantic. She needs to do more what I say. He needs to do this. He blah, 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 blah. In some cases, absolutely, there are some behaviors that need to be addressed. There's some boundaries you need to put in your own life. We talked about that book last week. Boundaries, absolutely. People treat us how we allow them to treat us. I get that. What I'm trying to get at is you work on you and then trust God with the rest. God knows exactly what your spouse needs to hear, and he knows exactly how to say it so they'll receive it. I would be, why does he do this? You need to do this. And then in one moment with the Lord, he would impress upon her heart something, and he would say it in a way that her precious little gentle heart could receive it. And I've been saying it for 2 years. But God knew exactly how she needed to hear it, and he would say it. You're wearing out the wrong person. You're wearing out your spouse. And I'm not going to do this, and you're going to do this. Why don't you start wearing out God? Take the pressure off them trying to make you happy. Do this little thing we call prayer. And why don't you start wearing out God instead of wearing out your spouse? You're wearing out the wrong person. Don't amen right there. Just look spiritual. Got some resources I want to recommend to you. On the back side of your handout, I printed those there for you. A couple of books I would just like to recommend to you. And it's been amazing to me down through the years that a couple would come in for my limited marriage counseling that I've been able to do down through the years. And I would just say, hey, why don't you read this book? And then we'll follow up in a couple of weeks. And we'd follow up. And how'd the book reading go? Well, we really didn't have time to do it. And we really just kind of wanted you to come in and tell us what to do. Listen, here's the deal. If you're not willing to invest in your marriage, the marriage might not be the issue. We do this little thing in the spring called Family Conference. It's been amazing to me, because we've done it for several years. It's been amazing to me down through the years, the number of marriages in our church that have issues. You're why we're doing the conference. But no, we don't have time for that. Or you're not making it a priority. Typically, the people that show up to our family conference are the people with good families and good marriages. That's why they are, is because they're investing in that. A couple of books I want you to think about. One would be If I Marry You, is The Five Love Languages. You got to read that. I talked just a moment ago about Miss Jerry's love languages, quality time. And so I'm like, oh, I know what they are. There's that acts of encouragement thing, and there's that, you know, the words of gifts and all that type of stuff. Listen. I know you've heard it taught. I know you might know what it is. I can sit here and do this. But invest in the relationship and read the book. If you don't know how to love your spouse, I could tell Jerry all day long, baby, you're so beautiful. Baby, I love you. This is what she hears. Wow, wow, wow. What are you doing later? You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to speak your spouse's love language, you're not speaking love into your marriage. It's a great book. A lot of you in here have probably already read it. Some of you maybe need to pick it up because it's possible your spouse's love language is full and it's changed. And maybe there's a deficit in another area. Another book I want to recommend is, it's a little bit longer book, a little bit harder to read too, but it's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. His name's fun to say. And he talks about how men are wired, and it's kind of stereotypical of guys, how we're wired in one way, and women are wired differently. There's non-spiritual books that talk about the same thing. Men are from Mars, women from Venus, and all that stuff. But this one just talks about the crazy cycle, that we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to invest love and emotion into our relationships. These are fantastic books. Here's what I'm going to recommend to you. Maybe get this book, and you read the first chapter, and I want you to use two different highlighters. Okay? The first highlighter is you highlight everything that your spouse needs to know. You just you highlight that. The other highlighter is everything that you need to read, everything that you need to focus on, and you need to change everything you may see. And after you've read that whole first chapter, you go back, and if you have more highlighted for your spouse, you're reading it wrong. You do you, and trust God with the rest. You work on you. You work on the things that you can fix. You know what I'm saying? And as you trust God with the rest, as you begin to change, as you begin to live open-handed, as you begin to push away from selfishness, as you begin to stop making demands upon the marriage, as you begin to take the pressure off of your spouse, as you begin to start being humble and gentle, and as you start being patient with one another, and you start making allowance, having some grace for somebody else's faults, and you make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, and you bind yourself together in covenant, and you bring peace to the table, your spouse will begin to respond in a rewarding manner. And I know that don't make sense. What makes sense is I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm going to fight for me. I'm going to get what's me and mine. Because the culture around you says, I deserve to be happy. But God's word says, hey, if you'll live open-handed, if you'll mutually respect one another, if you'll live humble and gentle, and you'll bring peace to the table, a kind word will turn away wrath. If you will live that way, my friends, I'm telling you, 18 years of marriage later, God's ways work every time. Amen, Pastor Brent. If you're watching online, I had to do it myself. They all sleeping. Stayed up too late last night watching that OSU football game. Go Pokes. ESPN Plus. Number three, be a person of hope. Be a person of hope. Like, make the choice to be a person of hope. Bring hope to the marriage. Choose to bring joy to the marriage. We read it just a moment ago, Philippians 4:11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Matter of fact, I've learned to be content. I know you have needs in your marriage. I know you have needs. Your spouse is not meeting right now. I know. And Paul's saying, listen, I'm not saying this because I need anything. I recognize it'd be nice. But I've learned to be content whether my spouse ever does that for me or not. Be a person of hope. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be a person that chooses to see the glass is half full. Did you know you can actually rewire your brain in the way you think? Hallelujah. Praise God. There's hope for some of you people. I was listening to a pastor's leadership podcast the other day, a guy by the name of Kerry Newhoff. How you say that? It's kind of Newhoff, but it's Kerry Newhoff, and this is a leadership podcast. And he interviewed a guy by the name of John Townsend. John has a new book out called People Fuel. And in this podcast, and that resource is mentioned on the back of, I gave you the podcast number, the release date. For some of you, especially if you're a leader, it'd be great to just invest the, I think it's about a 45-minute podcast. Just invest in listening to that, because he talks about if your default is negative, the glass is always half empty. It's never enough. They're never good enough. Kids are always not going to be enough. Your husband's never, like, you need to listen to this. Because he talks about just the ability that God gives us to rewire our negative thinking. And some of you, you've just given into the cultural pressure, because it's very cool in our culture to be negative and critical of everybody. There's this thing called social media. So we can, very anonymously, we can gripe about schools, or we can gripe about restaurants. And so it's just the unintended consequences of that. Here we are almost a generation later of that online presence. Now we're just a default negative culture, and you're not fun to live with. Don't amen there. And you need to just kind of make some choices in your spiritual life. Maybe do some of these psychology exercises to how to rewire your brain. Some of your marriages in this room are unhappy because you're just unhappy. Some of the marriages in this room are chronic because you're chronic. Marriages are bad because you say they're bad. It's never enough. She'll never be this. He'll never do enough of that. You're never going to get any better. She's never going to change. It's never going to be good enough. And I know, it's just, Pastor, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. We all do. Everybody in here, you have a marriage where you could make a list where your spouse didn't meet your expectations. They weren't enough. They weren't good enough. All of us in here have a choice that we have to make. And I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your own sanity, choose to be a person of hope. It's what Jesus came to give you. Was hope. And we're walking around without it. Man, if you're a Christian, you should be the happiest person alive, because you know how the next chapter ends. No matter what your spouse does, it's not enough to ever make you happy. You're not happy. You need to rewire, retrain your brain. Might not be a marriage issue. Might be a heart issue. Just because you're not content in life. Yet you demand that the world, your kids, your spouse, will bend to your wants and your wishes so they will make you happy. I'm going to give you a little secret. Paul gave you one. I'm going to give you a little BK secret right here. You're expecting the world to change to make you happy. It ain't gonna. It's not going to happen. The world is not going to change for your happiness. Be a person of hope. Surprise them. Like, just be happy today. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, what's wrong with you? Oh, let me guess. I didn't take the trash out. My underwear's on the floor again. Like, let it be, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Did I hear singing? Were you singing earlier? You're starting to freak the kids out because you hugged them today. They don't know what to do if you're not yelling at them. What's going on with you? Did an alien invade your body? Take the pressure off your marriage. Paul says, I've learned the secret to life. I've learned to be content. Make the choice. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.